Ron Ananian.
The one thing that people don't seem to have drilled through their head anymore is when you're on the road and you break down, 3 miles in bad shoes is an off. It could be 30 miles at that point.
At 3 miles in sub-zero weather, you're dead.
Doctor.
Should I replace the battery? It's 3.5 years old. It already lost the charge, completely went dead, which means I lose 10% of the cold cranking amps.
Should you replace it? Yes. I think once it goes through a deep freeze cycle like that, I think it's foolish to hang on to it.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, hello and welcome. Start your engines, America, and everywhere else that you might be. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor at the helm. 855-560-9900. Here to kick off the pre-Valentine's Day edition of the Car Doctor, as we tell you that we love each and every one of you, and thanks for being there each and every week. We know you've got a lot of choices and a lot of places to be, and we appreciate the time you take being here with us each week as we go through this 2 hours of automotive mania trying to solve your problems. And we learn from you, you learn from us, and it's a great deal for everyone involved. More information about us at cardoctorshow.com. Of course, there's a Facebook page, Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, and you can podcast this vis-a-vis the Car Doctor show.com website too. Get out to, I believe it's spreaker.com, and away we go. Hello, Michael, how are you? You good week? You already for, you know, you're a young guy, you've got to have some dates lined up. Valentine's Day coming up.
I told Tom before, thank God there's commercials about Valentine's Day, or else I'd be in a lot of trouble with my girlfriend.
Oh, because you didn't know?
Completely forgot.
Okay, well, yeah, thank God. I know Tom's got things planned for Valentine's Day. Tom, no?
Of course. Matter of fact, I was scheduled to be out of town on Valentine's Day. I changed my schedule because otherwise me and the dog are sharing the couch.
Well, yeah, there you go. By the way, it is Valentine's Day. No, I'm only kidding. So, listen, without any further ado, we got a lot going on. Let's get over and kick the garage doors open. Let's go over and talk to Lance in New York City, 2018 Toyota Corolla. Lance, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
How you doing? I got two quick questions. First, the easy one. I have a 2018 Corolla. I didn't buy the remote starter when I bought the car. I don't know why, but I didn't. Kind of wishing I did. I'd like to add it on. Do I go with the dealership to put one in, or do I go aftermarket?
Well, I like the dealership stuff if I have a preference, Lance. And when I say that, just because you go to the dealer doesn't mean you're going to get the manufacturer alarm or a remote start, if you know what I'm saying. You know, sometimes the dealers are selling an aftermarket version that, you know, through their dealership. If Toyota makes a Toyota over-the-counter remote start kit, that's what you want. All right. And for the biggest reason is replacement parts. In my mind, it's about replacement parts, and it's about repairing it 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road. I just purchased a brand new 2019 Silverado, Chevy Silverado, and I did the same thing. I saw, what did I see that threw my mind off? I saw remote mirrors, and somehow I read remote mirrors as remote start. It never even dawned on me. You know, I got home and I went, wait, my key fob doesn't work. Or I saw a remote power door lock unlock, something. You know, the trigger word was there, and my mind caught it, and I had to catch myself, and it didn't make sense. And I got home, and I said, wait, I didn't put remote start on the truck, which I couldn't have anyway because the truck was already built. But when I went back to the Chevy dealer, I had a choice. Did I want an aftermarket accessory, or did I want the real GM remote start? And I was able to get the real GM remote start. They put it in. It was. Geez, I thought it was reasonable. It was under $400. You know, remote start, GM, the right kit. And all they had to do was turn it on with software with the scan tool, which a lot of this is now. You know, you install the hardware, the actual module and the fobs, and then you just program everything. And with software, it's not a big deal. But the point becomes that in time, if that needs replacement parts, you know, you can still get them as long as the manufacturer makes them. And I've got to think the manufacturer is going to make these things typically, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, probably longer, because they replicate a lot of it over several different model years. So I kind of like the manufacturer, if that makes sense.
Okay, that was the easy one.
Second question.
No, the fun one. I'm getting a clicking sound when I press down on my brake pedal.
Inside the car or outside the car?
No, inside the car. It's like, it sounds like in between a click and a little pop. It started a couple of months ago. I figured, you know what, when I bring the car in for service, I'll have it looked at. I brought it in for service on Thursday. I got the regular service done and told them about the clicking sound. Service manager called me out and said, we took it for a ride. We definitely heard it. We're looking at it now. He says, I'm going to go test drive another 2018. Came back and told me that he heard something similar in the other one, so not to worry. But he did find a scored rotor, so they replaced my rotors and gave me a set of brake pads. I said, okay. When I went back to my car, I have a dash cam. I said, let me check to see if they actually took the car for a test drive.
Can I guess?
On my dash cam.
Can I guess? They didn't take it for a test
drive. Yeah, it was unplugged.
Drive. Yeah, okay, right.
No, it was unplugged.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you think it is, and what should I do?
Well, the first thing I want to know is if the other 2018 Corolla made a similar noise. Wouldn't it make sense to show you, the customer, hey, you know, listen, Lance, they're all seem to be making this noise, and yes, we agree, it is objectionable. Let's talk to the factory and see if we can come up with a solution instead of, yeah, we heard it, don't worry about it. Boy, that's not really comforting to me.
No, it's not.
I think that was handled badly, and I think, you know, when you do your survey, dealers rise and fall on surveys. So when you do your survey of customer satisfaction, you know, you can market accordingly as you see fit. So that's
right.
Number one. Number two, if an 18 Corolla, if they're all making this noise and it's an objectionable, which to me it sounds objectionable, I don't want to be reminded I'm stepping on the brake every time I do, then I think it's got to be a conversation with at least Toyota in California, you know, corporate, and they'll tell you to refer to the dealer at the local level, but at least you open up a case so that they're aware of it. And unfortunately, like many of us that own new cars, we find out that, you know, there are certain glitches and problems. Until we all start to complain, that generates the numbers of complaints, that generates the numbers towards issuing either a technical bulletin about how to fix it or a recall. And that's where it starts. It's all a numbers game. For example, and I'm not saying these are the numbers, but if it takes 50,000 people complaining about a 2018 Corolla with a clicking brake pedal, then they start to look at it. Then it takes another 30,000 complaining about a clicking brake pedal before they issue a bulletin, and then another 50,000 or 100,000 on top of that before it becomes a recall, and so on. It's all based on numbers. You know, it's sort of like what my mother told me. The squeaky wheel gets the attention. And you know, we got to squeak a little, and that's really what it comes down to. I would look at it. I would crawl under there. You know, is it hitting a piece of trim? Is it that the linkage itself is clicking, or is there a piece of wire loom, plastic valance, some sort of pedal cover, you know, that's physically moving, clicking, touching, rubbing, that they didn't trim enough? Because Toyota's generally, let's face it, Toyota's generally a pretty good quality vehicle. I'm surprised to hear you going through this.
I crawled under it. I couldn't find anything. I ran my hand up and down. But it's definitely, it's almost like if the pedal are made in two pieces, it's like almost like one is loose, and when you press down, you get that little clicking sound from it moving.
Right.
It's definitely that, and it's kind of driving me a little crazy. I mean, I love the car. I'm getting, you know, the 40 miles to a gallon gas mileage on this thing.
Right. It may not be in the pedal or the linkage. It could be in the booster, and it's just transmitting through to the pedal assembly too. So
yeah, that's true too.
You know, you just may not see it. So before, listen, I'll tell you the story this way. I just redid the kitchen in my house, and I bought a new microwave. And, you know, the microwave is 2 weeks old, my great quality Samsung microwave, and now the door doesn't open. In order to open the door, of my microwave, I have to push the button and slide it over to pull the door out by hand. It's a two-hand operation now. It's really kind of frustrating. So I said, "Oh, let me take it apart." You know, it took every bit of my moral fiber not to take this apart because I'm like, I can fix this. Like, you know, how hard could it be? It's just a microwave. I put it back on the shelf, and I called Samsung, and I'm going to take it into the warranty center and let them do their thing. And then when they can't fix it, I'll fix it. And you got to kind of follow the same thing. You got to let them try and at least make an honest effort. I don't understand why they did pads and rotors. How many miles are on this car?
It was just under 10,000.
Right. 10,000 miles, and you've got scored rotors?
Well, he said that way, so one of the rotors was scored. Was very lightly scored.
Yeah. Well,
so they said they were going to replace the rotors.
Yeah. Why would the rotors be scored at that mileage if you're not abusing it? Yeah, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't. No, I'm more on the highway. I'm not racing this car.
Right.
It's a Corolla.
Right. It's a Corolla. That's what I mean. It's. So was that
right.
Was that the appeasement to make Lance happy? Did they even do it? You know. So.
I don't know, but it's on the paperwork.
Right. I think you may want to just take a peek at the rotors. You can tell if they're new, but I would tell you either go back and talk to the service manager again, call Toyota, or find a different dealership and start over because I don't think you're getting proper service. Just my two cents.
So. I appreciate it.
All right, sir. You take good care.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. 855-560-9900. Car Doctor's coming back right after this.
Keep Ron's number handy, 855-560-9900, for when you really need advice on your car. Here's Ron.
Hey, Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor. We are back. Hey, kudos out to Motorrad. Given their core values of customer commitment, quality, integrity, Motorrad has developed a strong global presence since its establishment in 1958. Motorrad was recently honored. Listen to this deal. I keep telling you how good Motorrad stuff is. Motorrad was recently honored as Vendor of the Year at the Factory Motor Parts 2019 Vendor Gala, an event celebrating the positive results of transformational service, hard work, and global execution. In English, they're really doing a great job cranking out great product, and they are the OE equivalent. They are a great and wonderful product, Motorrad cooling system components, thermostats, radiator caps, and so on. So we're very happy for them, and we're very proud to be part of their family as they sponsor us, and they work so hard to do what they do, and they're getting the recognition for it. More information at their website. I believe it's going to be motorrad.com. So, tip of the hat to Motorrad. Let's get over and talk to Amish with his 03 Lexus and some oil smells. Welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Hey, Ron. It's Amish. I appreciate your podcast. I got to thank you and your entire crew.
Thank you.
I am a guy, before two Christmases, I never did my oil change myself, and I had a gas station in New Hampshire for 7 years, but I never worked on cars. Listening to you, and I bought a beat-up Lexus last Christmas, and I did the timing belt, the water pump, the valve covers, and the whole line yet. I can do anything except the engine and transmission tearing apart.
Wow.
But thank you for teaching me all these tips.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
My background is I born and raised in India, electrical engineer in India. Moved to England, 19 years age, and then I moved to U.S. after marriage, 2010. I never worked on cars, and listening to you make me interested working on cars. I help out friends and family who cannot afford the big repairs. So I help them out for free, doing the church-going people or my Hindu community, the people who are like religious, I help them out, put it that way.
Yeah.
No charge. And they're blessing me, the whole nine yards.
Well,
and
thank you.
It gives me more satisfaction fixing someone's car. But now my own car, I have this issue, I cannot put a point to it. So the problem is simple, whenever I turn the AC or heating, I have the smell coming inside the cabin. With burning oil. And listening to you a couple of times with this car, the 1MZ FE engine has that leaky valve covers.
Right.
I did change the valve cover gasket, but somehow I think I didn't do a good job because the leak is still there. So how do I go about doing it again, or what precautions I should take.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Amish. When you say the leak is still there, is it that you're just getting the smell, or you still see wet on the exhaust manifold?
I still see the wet on the exhaust manifold. Not like before, but it's still a little bit there.
Okay. How long has it been since you did this?
So I did the valve cover last Christmas. So it's almost a year now, and I'm getting lazy to fix my own car, but someone else's car will do it.
Oh, you're getting to be like a real mechanic. So,
right.
You know, it's a fairly cut and dry repair. You changed the gasket, the rubber gasket that goes around the perimeter of the cover when you had it off.
I did. I used the Felpro ones, the silicone ones.
Yeah, they're
not the OE.
They were blue, right?
Blue, yes.
Yeah, they're okay. Are you sure all the bolts are tight?
I did actually. I went ahead and put washers, like tiny washers, to make it the torque better, because the OE bolts on those valve cover gaskets are not that much straight. So when you put a bolt, it doesn't have that much torque to it. So one of the YouTubers suggested that I should put one washers to it, like 3/8 size washers. So that way I have more leverage for torquing them down. So I
now wait a minute. In the Felpro kit, they give you the gasket that goes around the outside of the cover. They give you the little round tube seals for the spark plugs, right?
I did replace those as well, yeah.
Right. And then they should have given you a little package of silver washers. Did you see those in the kit?
No, they didn't.
See, the kits I've used, they've always, because the torque of the bolt, how tight those cover gaskets are, is dependent upon that little, there should be a shim washer or a stop washer, as we call it, that prevents it from over-tightening. Because if you under-tighten, obviously it's going to leak. If you over-tighten and crush it down too much, you can create a leak. You can warp the cover, break the gasket, you know, cause a crack in it, cause a failure, or cause poor sealing.
I think I did that. I must have over-torqued it, because I was so upset with that leaking.
Right.
It's not going to leak again now.
Right.
But now it's still leaking.
Right. It's, you know, and here's a good lesson for you, okay? Sometimes in auto repair is a lot like life. It's not how hard you hit. It's not how often you hit.
Right.
It's, can you just hit it just right, just enough to make contact, and just a little more, whatever the spec is. I'm going
to
say,
I need to add that line to my Bible.
Yeah, you know, it's like sometimes that's what God's trying to teach us, brother. I think if I was to guess off the top of my head, I think the spec is roughly, I'm going to say, 18 or 24 inch-pounds torque on the bolts. It's not a lot. I might be wrong on that, but I believe it to be an inch-pound torque spec that has to be followed pretty religiously. So I'm going to tell you, get another kit, take it apart, look for the leak where you think it is. If it's only the back, just do the back. If you want to redo the front, redo the front. But it's just very, very critical to follow that tightening sequence and torque spec when you do it. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, rolling along. Let's get on over and talk to Chuck in Texas. 094. Chucky, how's things down Texas way today? Welcome to the Car Doctor.
Hey, Ron. Thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you.
You too, sir. What's going on?
Okay. Well, first off, before we get into the dope of it, I just want to say I'm sorry about the loss of your mom, but we both know that she's in a better place.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, sir. So. Okay. My 09 being 10 years old, I understand that's probably the life of the TPM sensor battery.
Yeah, that's about it. Eight to nine, 10 years, something like that.
Okay, so what I got on my dash, it's messaging that fault, and it's not a low pressure alert, it's just a fault. So I'm not getting a signal, and I'm taking it probably the furthest one away from the computer. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be any of them, Chuck. It really could. There are tools out there, TPMS tools, that'll measure which sensor, you know, it's probably not a bad thing for somebody to have. There's probably used versions of them out on eBay if you want something. I'm sure there's things out there for a couple $100 to just measure frequency and signal and help identify which sensor's acting up. But, yeah, you're on the right target.
Okay, well, I sent you some stuff, I think, up to the car doctor, so you saw. I found a set. I went to O'Reilly's, and I had the guy look it up, and he gave me a video-ready sensor made by a Continental, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, they're great, but one was like $65, and I about, you know, took a load in my pants. I'm like, oh, no. So I'm an eBayer, and I'm also a YouTuber, but I found a set. That's what I sent you on eBay, a whole set of four for $110.
Okay.
Now, my question is, when I buy these, do I need to do any special programming to the computer, or can I train it as through the training process when I put them in?
Well, that's sort of a manufacturer question. More than likely, there's going to be programming, because you're going to have to learn. Each one of those sensors is going to have a unique identifier number to the tire pressure sensor module. So that number has to be learned to the module and written into its memory. So, and it's a fair question. So what kind of a programmer does this company expect you to use? And that's really up to them. I've seen it where they provide the programmer of a one-time use in the kit. I've seen it where it requires a factory or a scan tool of some type. You know, I've seen all different versions and levels of it. You know, we happen to use a product at the shop from a company called X31. It's called the Ready Sensor. And what it gives us the ability to do is we actually can clone or create our own sensors for any car. It's kind of a neat system. It might be what O'Reilly's is got you. O'Reilly Auto Parts has you looking at in their quest. One thing I will tell you about tire pressure sensors, Chuck, is that you're better off spending a little more money than less, because you've got to think of it like this: the factory original sensors lasted 10 years.
Correct.
You know, there's no rule that says that the sensors on eBay are, you know, have to last 10 years, or, you know, I mean, what are the reviews going to be? How would anybody know? Because tire pressure sensors are now just coming to the end of their life, and this cycle begins with replacement sensors. So, you know, just be wary. You know, you get what you pay for.
I got you on that. Okay, so I guess then I'm going to have to – I watched the video on YouTube. And exactly what you're saying, the guy took the original sensor, put it by the monitor, it learned it, and then he cloned it to a new one.
Right.
Okay, I saw that. Now, I can't do that unless I buy that freaking tool, or maybe O'Reilly's will let me borrow one. I don't know.
Well,
they're pretty good about that.
Yeah, well, you know, why don't you talk to the guys at O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask them, listen, if I buy the four sensors from you, how do I program it? Think of it like this.
Well, Ron,
go ahead.
Ron, I guess I'm putting the cart before the horse, because I already bought them on eBay.
Oh, well, you can always.
I sent you that.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm not worried about that issue. No, I know the manager at O'Reilly's really well. I mean, I'm a member. I'm a club member and all that stuff, and they take care of me as a veteran. I get discounts and I always get the coupons. That's great. But I guess my question is, second part of it is, I watched this thing on YouTube. I don't want to take much of your time, but what he did was he took the tire off, laid it flat, took the Schrader valve out of the stem, deflated the air out, and then he put a 2x4 about 10 inches long along the tire against the rim, flat, and facing his bumper where the valve stem would be. And then he took another 2x4 on top of that under his bumper and pressed down onto the tire and pulled the bead away from the rim to access the valve.
He broke the bead.
He replaced it, then he wetted the bead, and he stuck an air compressor to it and inflated it back up. Do you think that's a possible thing I can do, or do I have to have a tire machine?
I think every tire is going to be different, Chuck. I really do.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Shit. You know, it's a hard question. You know, how long since that tire had been deflated? How big of a tire was it? Was it bulging on the rim? Was it corroded to the rim? Although in Texas, nothing corrodes. It's not like New Jersey. You might have to have somebody break that tire down in order to get the sensor out.
Well, I think I can handle it. I really do. I mean, the tires have only been on these mag 20-inch aluminum rims for a year, so they're new tires.
Okay. Well, then, you know, listen, you won't know till you try. Worst-case scenario, you got to approach this as a learning curve. Listen, you're trying to do something with a minimal amount of tools.
So, correct. And less expense, right.
Right. So the choices are, you either take it somewhere and say, here, put four sensors in the car, all right, in the truck, or you're going to take it, you know, you're going to buy the sensors, break it apart with 2x4s, try, and then can you get them programmed? Now, keep in mind, what O'Reilly Auto Parts has to program their sensors may not necessarily work with yours.
Correct.
Your sensors may program and may require a specific tool such as that manufacturer decides.
Got you.
So you really should talk to the guy on eBay or whoever you purchase them from and say, hey, how do these get programmed? If they don't give you an answer, then it's time to call the credit card company and cancel the deal and move on.
10-4, I got you on that. Well,
right.
I think I'm going to take a trip over to O'Reilly's and talk to Rico, the manager, who knows me well, and go. And then I'm going to do that, and then I got to do front brakes. But everything, I sent you a picture of the truck, babe. It's beautiful,
yep,
and
looks
I love it as much as you do your 55,
yep.
Trust me.
So, absolutely. Hey, listen, good to catch up with you. Let me go. I'm on a clock. But we'll talk again real soon. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate
it. You got it, brother.
You're very welcome. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor. We are here to take your calls at 855-560-9900. Lucy the Wonder Dog and I were in studio today. Lou, come over here.
Come here, baby. Come here. Say hello to America. Here, see? Yeah.
Okay, good. This dog has to learn that sound on radio is the most important thing. Let's go over and talk to Elizabeth in Maine, 01 Honda. 01 Honda Odyssey, looking to buy a new car. Elizabeth, welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Hi there, Ron. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your show. I learn amazing things every week.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I'm glad to be here for you.
So. And actually, that subject is what I was originally calling for until I had a problem yesterday with that 01 Honda Odyssey. So if I may just switch over and ask you a specific problem question first.
Sure, go ahead.
I had an astonishing thing happen. I've had the minivan, for 11 years.
Right.
And after about 6 years, I ended up having to replace the front springs. We were doing a routine inspection. The tech found it. I kind of was wondering, but I went out and looked, and sure enough, there was a big crack across the coil itself. So I had him replace it. That was probably 6 years ago. 1 year ago, I had both front springs break, one of them worse than the other, which punctured a tire, shredded it, and that was unbelievable. And I just had exactly the same thing happen yesterday. This is 1 year later.
Wow.
13 months. Yeah. I'm speechless, actually.
Yeah,
I'm out dealing with it right now with getting a tire. It's just like, what's going on with front springs, and is there a way to, avoid this problem? This is crazy.
You know, if you could see the look on my face, my eyebrows are touching the back of my neck.
Mine were too.
Listen, you got to call them like you see them in baseball and auto repair. Part of the problem is where you live. All right. Maine is the high salt concentration state. I mean, you guys dissolved the bridge in Bath, Maine. So,
yeah. I laughed over that one last week.
if you can make a bridge fall down, anything's possible on a car.
Right.
So that's in there, too. Then the second is, you know, quality of the parts. What parts are they using? Are they using Honda? Are they using, and you know, but I'm going to say, gee, Moog coils. You know, if it's a Moog coil spring, Moog is a great aftermarket company.
Yes, it was the last one.
Yeah, Moog, MOOG. I would call them up in St. Louis and say, hey, what's up? I can't believe it. Within a year.
Well, I tried that last year when it happened after the original replacement that I had done, and the parts company here was not able to get any satisfaction through the reps at all. They ended up actually. Goodwill gesture gave me a couple $100 to cover, you know, all this stuff, which of course is, you know, I'm putting in new struts and everything, all you know,
struts, tires, yeah, sure.
And so when it just happened again yesterday, I'm like, you know, that's why I mentioned, is there a class action lawsuit because this is happening all over the place, or is it not? My mechanic did say they've seen a lot of this happening, and in fact, Fords were some of the worst for this. So. Is it bad steel? Is it Moog? It's not doing a good job? What do you... And by the way, there's not many miles on this. I drive it like an old lady, and I wash it with the undercarriage wash like all the time.
Right.
You know, I haven't tried to take care of it.
So. I'm going to tell you to take the VIN. Have you been out to NHTSA.gov?
No.
Go out to, NHTSA for short, National Highway Traffic Safety Authority, NHTSA.gov. And there'll be a place there where you can plug in the VIN that allows you to look up open recalls and possibly service campaigns on that vehicle.
What's a service campaign? Never heard of that.
Well, a service campaign is what a recall is before it becomes a recall.
Okay, great.
It's kind of like when your mother said, get in the house or, you're going to bed without supper. That's the moment before. And then when you don't get in the house, from play, and then you go to bed hungry, it's that moment.
Okay.
That might be listed there. I had heard rumors that if they aren't there now, they were talking about it. They're trying to make people more aware of potential problems. The other thing I would do is I would Google Moog coil spring issues or Moog coil spring Hondas cracking, failure, things like that. Just to see, you're not the only person having this, although I have to tell you, not that we do a lot of spring work. We're in New Jersey and we don't see a lot of failures like you do in Maine. I haven't heard of this, but if you would also email me your 17-digit VIN, I'm going to do a little research on my own, and maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Okay, that's great, because it's such an unusual thing. I mean,
yeah.
When the first one was found, I thought that was unusual, but this is insane.
Yeah, two
more times, 1 year apart. So I'm thinking, sure, I'll send you that info and see if there's anything that can be done. Because, of course, there's so much collateral damage when this happens. Sometimes you have to replace two tires, not one, and alignments, and oh, my gosh.
That was $1,500 worth of repair, so I can understand your pain. Let me just give you my email real quick, Elizabeth. Send it to ron@cardoctorshow.com. Spell out doctor, ron@cardoctorshow.com. And like I said, check the NHTSA website, and let's plan to talk next week. Let's see where this is going. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor, coming back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor here, 855-560-9900 is the Car Doctor's 24/7 phone number. Use it, call it, leave a message if we're not on the air, and Tom Ray will call you back and get you in the next queue for the live broadcast. Let's go and talk to Mike in Minnesota, see what's going on here, 15F250. Mike, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Ron. Yesterday on my radio, the RPR active display was on, and the volume was very low, and the volume control didn't adjust. So I stopped at the dealership, and they wanted to schedule an appointment, and I didn't really have time for that. So I looked on YouTube, and it showed a simple procedure to replace the fuse to reboot it. Just simply remove the fuse and reinstall the fuse, and that did the trick. But today, I have no left speakers, and I'm just wondering if that's associated or what else to check next.
Touch screen radio, Mike?
No, it's conventional. It's okay. XLT, so it's not the real fancy thing.
It's not the real fancy thing. The thing I don't like about pulling one singular fuse to reboot something is, without looking at a wiring diagram, I'm going to tell you that, I don't know if one fuse does it. One fuse may power that, but not shut down something else, so it's an erratic failure, if you understand what I'm saying, and it needs to see a complete clean reboot. So this may be a case where, and understand the consequences of what you're about to do. If it were me and I was stuck in this situation with no tools and I had no choice, I would pull both battery cables off, key off, doors closed, key out of the vehicle. All right, and I've gotten in the habit of saying it that way because if it's a smart key, whether this is or isn't, but for everyone else's sake, key out of the vehicle, so we're trying to, calm down computers and modules. I'm gonna disconnect both battery cables, and I'm gonna leave them disconnected for 10 to 15 minutes. If I have the ability to, and I could find a 10-ohm, 1-watt resistor and make up a jumper wire and put that between the battery cables, trying to bleed all the modules down slowly.
Okay.
Give it a soft place to land. And then after 15 minutes, connect them up and let everything boot back up again. We have become a nation of vehicles that has so much computer code in it that one singular fuse pull, one, turn of the wrist the wrong way with a button sometimes, it seems, makes some of these vehicles, they're just a little too buggy at times. I'll tell you a quick story. My wife's 18 Explorer, we just purchased a brand new 18 Explorer back in August, and I had a problem with the dash display. It was a touchscreen display that was doing something similar. She had, you know, the volume would lock up, then the navigation would lock up. I didn't lose speakers, but I was losing functionality, specifically of the radio control. And after some research, I did what I just described to you. My first step was going to be disconnecting the battery cables. That did it for me. My next step was going to be to see if there were any software updates, and then I was going to take it back to Ford. So sometimes they need a clean reboot, which makes me wonder how some of these cars are going to survive when we get down to the point where we, as they get older, if we ever have to do a jump start. Oh, I can't imagine what that's going to be like with some of the computer cars today. So, but try that, Mike. See if a hard reboot like that, let it sit 10, 15 minutes, if that brings it back. If not, then it's got to go to the dealer. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. The mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. Everyone.